Our Bibles once again this morning over to the book of Philippians, chapter number 4. Philippians chapter number 4, we have for quite some time now been studying verse by verse through the book of Philippians, and we're towards the end of the book at this point. We're technically down at Philippians 4:19, so we have a few more verses to go, but since we typically take about a month per verse, we probably still have a year to go, right? No, that's not true. But if you look at Philippians chapter 4 and verse 19, Philippians chapter 4, verse 19, he says this, "But my God shall supply all your need according to His riches in glory by Christ Jesus." Let's unite our hearts in a word of prayer. Our gracious God and Father, we thank You for the ministry here. We thank You for what Your Word has produced in each of our lives, individually, personally, and then collectively, whether it's us here meeting physically in a group or whether it's the many, many number of people here listening on the internet, and whether it's just them by themselves or whether it's a group of two or ten, whatever it might be. Father, we're thankful for what Your Word has produced, because it's Your Word that has brought this about. So we thank You for that. We thank You for the insight, the wisdom that Your Word gives us. We thank You that we can have confidence, 100% confidence in what Your Word says. That we can read it, we can trust it. We can trust that You are faithful to Your Word. You tell us that You exalt Your Word even above Your own name. And You have given to the Lord Jesus Christ that same position. So precious to You is Your Word and our Savior. We ask, Father, that He would be glorified, You would be honored as we study Your Word this morning. In Christ's name, amen. I have a question to get started with this morning. And you know, guys, I do like to ask questions, right? I ask a lot of questions. My question is God going to pay your rent this month?
No.
Think, what? Is God going to pay your mortgage this month?
No.
Is God going to pay for that Ferrari you're going to buy?
No.
Will He pay for your Volkswagen then?
No.
Okay. Hey, you say, what does this have to do with anything? Well, look at the verse again, if you would, please. When it says at verse 19, it says, "But my God shall supply all your need." Now, notice that word in the King James Bible, it's singular.
Yes.
Yes? "But my God shall supply all your need according to His riches and glory by Christ Jesus." This particular verse is kind of a classic verse in Paul's epistles that is appealed to by those who preach the idea and hold the idea and believe the idea that if you'll just trust God for whatever needs that you have, financial or health or that type of thing, if you'll just trust God, they just want to give you the dare of faith. If you'll just trust Him, then God will take care of that. You just got to trust Him. And if God doesn't pay your rent, it's because you didn't trust Him. If God doesn't pay for your car, the monthly payment for your car, then you didn't trust Him. Because that verse says, "My God shall supply all your needs." So isn't it therefore really a lack of faith?
No.
That was a trick question.
Yes, it is.
Yeah, why?
Because you're not reading the verse. You're not reading.
You see, it was a trick question, wasn't it? So I apologize. I do that often. I'm really bad at that. When I said, so is that a lack of faith? Well, yes, in the sense that those who want to use this verse to say, well, if you just have enough faith, then God will send you a check each month in the mail. No, that's not a lack of faith. Rather, it is a lack of faith and not understanding the context of that verse. It's taking that verse out of context and making it say something that has no relationship to either the context or even the book of Philippians as a whole, nor to the entire dispensation of grace. Okay? So, as we're talking about this, I'm not trying to take away anything from you. When I say that verse is not God promising to pay for your... and then fill in the blank. Rather, we want to let the verse edify us and teach us and equip us and strengthen us so that we will appreciate what the verse is talking about. Now, we started looking at this verse probably about a month ago now. And we basically began looking at this by saying that fundamentally there are two major types of need or needs that we as believers have. Who remembers what the two are? Okay. Number one is spiritual. Spiritual. We would say non-material. We would say inner man needs, right? So that's going to be number one. What was number two? Well, obvious. What? Physical, okay? And so material. Yeah, temporary. Okay, so this would be eternal, right? These are going to be outer man. And then we said a temporal, right? So, see how... And I think it was Raymond that commented, and others clearly saw this, that if you address these needs, these really get dealt with. Right? If you really address the spiritual needs, the inner man needs, the non-material part of you, that the eternal, you address those, that's really how you address these. So we've already spent 2 or 3 weeks now focusing on this one here, the spiritual. Let's mention this again. When you're talking about the spiritual, the non-material, the inner man need, the eternal, what is the need in that one? It's Jesus Christ. It's Christ. In all that He is for us to be. He is our righteousness. He is our sanctification. He is our redemption. Does anybody need any of those things? Hold Philippians 4 and go to 1 Corinthians 1. 1 Corinthians 1. So hold Philippians 4, go to 1 Corinthians 1. Look at this list. Verse 30. But of Him. The Him is God the Father. So 1 Corinthians 1:30 says this, but of Him are you in Christ Jesus. You see that there? So God, by His plan and purpose, He's the one that puts you into Christ. And by the way, the specific member of the Godhead that did that is God the Holy Spirit. 1 Corinthians 12:13, for by one Spirit are we all baptized into one body. And that baptism there's not water baptism. It's a dry baptism. It's the baptism. It's the one baptism that matters. And it does away with every other baptism. Makes them all unnecessary. But that verse says, but of Him are you in Christ Jesus, who of God is made unto us. What's the next word there? And what? And what? And what? You see those things? Wisdom, righteousness, sanctification, and redemption. Are those inner man needs? And you have them. Because God made Christ to be that to you. Yes or no?
Yes.
That's what it says. That according as it is written, He that glorieth, let him glory in where? Why glory in the Lord in this passage? In these verses, why? What? What's that? He's the one that did it all. And all that we have in Him. He that glorieth, let him glory in the Lord. He's our resource. He's our righteousness. He's our sanctification. He's our redemption. If you have trusted the blood of Jesus Christ alone for your salvation, now here's a quick pop quiz, but I know you know the answer to this, right? If you have trusted the finished work of the Lord Jesus Christ, He died for your sins, was buried, and rose again the third day. You've trusted that in the privacy of your own heart. I'm not saying that you made some promise to God. You made some commitment. You invited Jesus into your heart. None of those things result in your salvation. I don't care what they say at the Harvest Crusade. That's not the gospel.
Amen.
You don't get saved by walking an aisle or praying a prayer. Salvation's not by works. It's really and truly a free gift. What do you do to make a gift offered to you that's free to you your own? Just give it to them. You receive it. It really is free. So when you trusted the shed blood of Jesus Christ alone for your salvation, according to those verses right there, verse 30, how does God see you in relationship to His own righteousness?
You as righteous too.
What's that?
He sees you as righteous too.
He sees you as righteous as Jesus Christ.
Amen.
Does that like blow your mind?
Amen.
You can't come, yeah. But that is how He sees you. That, you know what? I'm really not making this up. But it says it right there. Sometimes we have to kind of pinch ourselves and slap ourselves and say, does it really mean what it says? How about, yes!
That's what faith is.
It's believing God. Faith, they say faith is a step into the dark. I say no, faith is a step into the truth, the light. It's not a blind leap into the dark. God says it right there. Trust that God means what He says. He cannot, He doesn't lie, and He doesn't mislead. When we say that spiritual, non-material, inner man needs eternal, this is the most important and the issue in meeting this need is God not only gave us Christ, He put us into Christ. Christ is our life. Let me say it this way. Christ is your life, yes?
Yes.
If Jesus Christ was to die today, which obviously that can't happen, but if He was to die today, what would happen to you? You would die.
Amen.
Let that sink into you. Christ is your life. This is not metaphorical. It's not mental gymnastics. It's not psychology, psychiatry. The Bible says Christ is your life. We were taken out of Adam. The old man was crucified with Him. Sin is condemned in the flesh. The body is already dead because of sin in the flesh. But the Spirit is life because of righteousness. The life that you now have is Jesus Christ Himself. So when we come to this, when that verse said, you can go... You know, look at 1 Corinthians 6 real quick. Ken was talking about this earlier. This is one of his favorite passages. And boy, it's your... If you want a favorite, this is a good one. 1 Corinthians chapter number 6. Look at 1 Corinthians chapter number 6, verse 9 and 10. It says, "Know ye not that the unrighteous shall not inherit the kingdom of God?" He's talking about lost people. That phrase in verse 9 when it says the unrighteous, that's an unsaved person. We just looked at the verse that says you've been made the righteousness of God in Christ. Actually, that was 2 Corinthians, but the one in 1 Corinthians says God made Christ to be your righteousness. So when that verse says, "Know you not that the unrighteous," he's talking about a lost person, not a saved person acting like a lost person. You see why I say that? "Knowing not that the unrighteous shall not inherit the kingdom of God. Be not deceived, neither fornicators, nor idolaters, nor adulterers, nor effeminate, nor abusers of themselves with mankind." He's describing lost people. He's not talking about saved people acting like lost people. nor thieves, nor covetous, nor drunkards, nor revilers, nor extortioners shall inherit the kingdom of God. How come none of those in the list in verse 9 are going to inherit the kingdom of God? You know what? Because they're not saved. That's why. But look at the next statement. And such, what's the next word there? War some of you. But ye are, say the word. But ye are, say the word. But ye are, say the word. In the name of the Lord Jesus and by the Spirit of our God, and you had nothing to do with it. All you did was receive the gift. Isn't that a great verse, by the way? It's just wonderful to know that. Now go back with me, if you would, to Philippians 4. The great need that we as believers have is Christ. Christ in the life of a believer. The need to learn that He is our life and then learn what that looks like. How do I tap into that? Right? How do I actually utilize the life of Christ in my life? That great need.
Stay in the Word.
Yes, stay in the Word and let the Word stay in you.
Amen.
Now, we want to move on and talk about this second category. What about physical needs? What about material needs? What about outer man needs? Does anyone here today have any physical, material, outer man, temporal needs right now? Yes, no?
Yes, I'm hungry.
Hey, yeah, what do you say? I'm hungry? Okay. You know, we were kind of thinking bigger scale. We're thinking like inflation. Anybody heard inflation? Like in the GDP and all that kind of stuff? Ken was talking about he normally can buy a two 18-pack of eggs from Walmart for like $3. And he said this week it cost him $9.
Wow.
But wait a minute. $3 to $9, that's like up, right? I'm telling you.
We don't have a GDP. It's negative, remember.
It's what now?
GDP is negative.
The GDP, that's right. He said we don't have a GDP because it's actually negative. I think it was -1.5 where they thought it was going to be +1. So it's a swing of -2.5, really. Anyway, this is not about economics, but it is insane. Listen, even if you didn't have issues with balancing your checkbook, you know, the old saying, how come I have so many checks left at the end of my money? Yeah, you know, how do you get? Yeah, if think about, you know, the moms and dads that have a young family and they were barely making ends meet before, and it's gotten kind of challenging. So, and even if it wasn't like that, you still have physical. Maybe you got health needs. Maybe you got infirmities. Outer man needs. And connected with these are also emotional needs, right? All kinds of emotional needs. So the question fundamentally is this. Does this verse, I'm not going to say does it promise that God will meet these needs, but does it address the issue?
Yes.
No. See the difference there? Let me say it this way. Did the Apostle Paul ever have this category of needs? Physical, material, outer man, temporal needs. Did he ever have physical needs that were not met?
Yes.
What do you think?
Yes.
Some say yes. Most say yes. Some say I'm not sure.
Yes.
Let's look at some verses. Because that's how you decide, right?
Yes.
Did the Apostle Paul ever have outer man needs, material needs, food, water, shelter, clothing, that were not met,
yes,
is the question. Look at the very context here. I'm going to start at verse 10. He says, but I rejoice in the Lord greatly that now at the last your care of me has flourished again, wherein you were also careful, but you lacked opportunity. Not that I speak in respect of want, for I have learned in whatsoever state I am therewith to be content. I know both how to be abased and I know how to abound. Everywhere and in all things I am instructed both to be full and to be what?
hungry.
Both to abound and to suffer what?
Need.
Did the Apostle Paul ever experience needs, outer man needs,
yes,
that were not met?
Yes.
Look at another one, please, if you would. Go with me to 2 Corinthians chapter 6. Is this what I want here? Let me see if this is what I want. I'm not finding it. Yeah, I'm in 1 Corinthians. That's why I'm not seeing the verse. It's 2 Corinthians. Sorry about that. So 2 Corinthians 6. Let me do it this way too. Okay, so you know we're talking about this category. Physical, material, outer man. Yes, we know that? Okay, now I've got a pop quiz for you. You guys like these, right? Maybe not. I got Saul and Paul, the same person. Now I have a question. Okay, was he You see that? Is that dark enough? Can y'all see that? The question is, was he wealthy? Okay.
Depends on what you define wealth.
That's the key right there. Say it loud, Barry.
Depends on what you define wealth.
Okay, Saul.
Was
he materially You get the idea. Okay. Question. Was Saul materially wealthy?
Yes.
Look at, you have 2 Corinthians 6, yes?
Yes.
Yeah.
Look over to Galatians 1, but hold 2 Corinthians there. Look at Galatians 1. Look at this verse. Galatians 1, the Apostle Paul here is giving some information and details about himself as Saul. So before his conversion, yes? And he says it. Galatians 1:13, he says, "For you have heard of my conversation in time past in the Jews' religion." So he's talking about before he was a believer. Yes?
Right.
"How that beyond measure I persecuted the church of God and wasted it." Now verse 14. "And profited in the Jews' religion above many of mine equals in mine own nation." Listen, there's profit in religion. And I'm talking money profit. He was a Pharisee. He studied at the feet of Gamaliel. Gamaliel was the most significant speaker in his day. Saul was going to be the next Gamaliel. He profited in the Jews' religion. When the Lord Jesus Christ talked about the scribes and the Pharisees and so forth, one of the things he talked about was the clothing that they wore. The outward, external show of wealth and profit. They wore it in their clothing. They didn't look like John the Baptist. You know what I mean? As Saul, materially, he was wealthy. Outer man. How about as Saul, how about spiritually?
Zero. Nothing.
Zero. Nada. Nothing. As it were. Right? Well, how about this guy now? Because this guy becomes that guy. Look at 2 Corinthians 6. 2 Corinthians 6. You can let go of Galatians. 2 Corinthians 6, it says this. As sorrowful... 2 Corinthians 6:10. Did I give you the right verse? As sorrowful, yet always rejoicing. As what?
Poor.
So, Paul, materially, was he wealthy?
No.
He was poor. So we're going to go like that. But he says, as poor... yet making many rich. How can a poor guy make someone else rich?
Spiritually.
Shut up. Spiritually. that which was the treasure, God's Word in him. You can't help but think of the passage Peter says to the guy there in Acts chapter 3. He says, "Silver and gold have I none." That's the verse we can probably all relate to, right? as Paul, poor, yet making many rich. It's because the Word of God, the message of God's wonderful grace that resided in his soul, he wanted to give his soul to anyone and everyone that will listen. So he was making them rich. The treasures of wisdom and knowledge in Christ. We have this treasure in earthen vessels, that the excellency of the power may be of God and not of us. So his materially, he was poor. By the way, look at what else he goes on to say. He says, as poor, yet making many rich. As having nothing. Paul would never have made the list in the magazine Forbes of the world's richest men. He might have made the world's poorest, right? That verse says, as having nothing, and yet possessing all things. Because in the message of God's grace, we find that God has blessed us with how many spiritual blessings?
All
spiritual blessings. In what realm? Not the temporal, here and now, but the heavenly places. Ephesians 1:3. Say it with me. Ready? Blessed be the God and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, who hath blessed us with all spiritual blessings in heavenly places. In what realm? In Christ. How rich are you in Christ? So as Paul, spiritually, what a transformation. You see that there? The great change that happened in this man because of the Word of God, because of what Christ did on the cross of Calvary for us. Okay, one more here. 2 Corinthians 11. 2 Corinthians 11. We're asking the question this, and that is, did Paul ever have material needs that were not met? Yes. And the answer is yes. So look at 2 Corinthians chapter 11. I'm going to start at verse 26. He says, in journeyings often, in perils of waters, in perils of robbers, in perils by mine own countrymen, in perils by the heathen, in perils in the city, in perils in the wilderness, in perils in the sea, in perils among false brethren. Now look at verse 27. He says, in weariness and painfulness. You want to sign up for this job, by the way? In watchings often, in hunger and thirst, in fastings often. Now, you've got to think about that. When he says in fastings often, yeah, he didn't have the food. He's not saying, you know what, I'm beginning to become so spiritual, I'm going to follow the Old Testament fasting protocol right there. That's not the fasting he's talking about. In the context, he didn't have any food. This is forced fasting. Yeah. You see the difference there? This is not Old Testament fasting, that verse. He didn't have food. In cold and nakedness. Did Paul ever have external material needs, outer man needs that were not met? Yes or no? And then go back to Philippians 4. And then we read that passage already. The context. Look at 2 Corinthians 4. He says at 4. Philippians chapter number 4. So the fact is that the Apostle Paul on multiple occasions, had needs that weren't met. So what did he do? Well, I told you to go to Philippians 4. I should have asked you to go to Acts chapter 20. My bad here. Go to Acts chapter 20. When Paul had needs that weren't met, what did he do? Well, here's an example. Look at verse 33 of Acts 20. Acts 20 and verse 33. He says this, "I have coveted no man's silver or gold or apparel. Yea, yourselves know that these hands have ministered unto my necessities and to them that were with me. I have showed you all things, how that so laboring ye ought to support the weak, and to remember the words of the Lord Jesus, how he said, it is more blessed to give than to receive." What did Paul do when he had needs? What did he do? The Apostle Paul says in both 1 Thessalonians and in particular 2 Thessalonians, he says, if any man will not work, then neither should he eat. That to me sounds very different than name it and claim it. Why does that sound so different than the name it and claim it message? You know why? Because it is! And the name it and claim it message is false. It's wrong. It's a lie. It's deceptive. It is not how God meets the needs of the body of Christ, or even for lost people, by the way, in the dispensation of grace. But the question does come up. Does God sometimes meet the needs of believers? And more importantly, if He does, how does He do it? Does He supernaturally make you win the lottery?
No.
If He did, you've been holding out on us. Come on now, what's happening? What, someone said it. What do you mean by that?
Well, God can give it to you, but my neighbor, my brother, my sister.
Everybody hear how simple that is? We're going to look at two verses, and then we're going to try to wrap this up. So at this point then, actually three. Look at verse 34 of Acts 20, yes? "Yea, ye yourselves know that these hands have ministered unto my necessities." Next phrase. "And to them that were with me." So those who were with them, they also shared with Paul. They needed some food. Paul said, you know what? I've got a skill. I'm a tent maker, like Aquila and Priscilla. Let me go see if I can market a couple of these tents and so forth and make some money, and we'll go buy, you know, we'll go to In-N-Out Burger and buy a couple of hamburgers. Right? And they all divided it up and said, hey, let's... You see how he did it? You see how God met not only Paul's need, but how God met the need of those that were with him. It was through sound doctrine working in Paul. Go to Ephesians chapter number 4. Go to Ephesians in chapter number 4, and then after this we'll get back to Philippians 4 and then we'll wrap this up. Look at this passage here. Philippians chapter number 4, look at verse 28.
Ephesians 4.
Thank you. Ephesians 4. Ephesians 4. I've been all over confused this morning. I apologize. You know.
Because Lori's not here.
Yes, that is true. He says it's because my wife's not here. Lori's not here. Yes, that's true. Yeah. I didn't copy her notes very well, right? So, the notes she gave me. At any rate, look at this passage. Watch this. This is a very interesting verse. You might not have thought about this verse in relationship to the question of God. How does God meet the needs of people? It says, verse 28. So I'm at Ephesians 4, 28. "Let him that stole steal no more." Okay, so there you got someone who didn't believe in property rights and he thought it was okay, you can just take whatever you can get away with. By the way, nowadays you can even take what you and keep, even if you don't get away with it. You can just have it. California, what's the limit? If it's less than $900, they won't even...
980.
980, he says. Oh man, it's like, what does this world come to? But So you can see how the message of God's grace comes along and is able to change the internal workings of someone who goes from the place where they thought it was okay to take that which is not their own, someone who disagreed and did not believe in property rights and thought it was okay just to take whatever you can take. And it comes along and it changes that person's thinking. It says, let him that stole steal no more, but rather let him labor. So now if he sees something that he wants, don't go take it. What should you do?
Work.
Go get a job. And as soon as you've got enough money that you can, you know, pay your bills and you can go buy that new bicycle or whatever it is, new computer, now go buy it. Let him that stole steal no more, but rather let him labor, working with his own hands, that which is good. Now watch this. That he may have to give to him that needeth. He can see that buddy that he used to run around the neighborhood stealing stuff with. And he got saved. And now he's got some extra money coming in. And he can go sit down with that buddy and say, you know, I've come to realize that's the way we used to get stuff is not right. And I know you need some stuff. I know you need some food. Let me go buy lunch for you. And let's talk about what changed my mind about all this. Did God potentially meet that lost guy's need?
Yes.
He did it through a believer right there. The Apostle Paul says, as we have therefore opportunity, let us do good unto all men, especially those that are the household of faith. Is God willing to meet the external, material, outer man, temporary needs of both the saved and the lost? The answer is yes. But how does He do it when He does it? He does it through you. He does it through the believers. When you make a choice... So now, go back to... Look at how Paul describes this in Philippians chapter 4. Isn't this amazing? When you make that choice to go and help someone out that's in need, and you do it because of Christ in you, you're not doing it to gain points with God or Christ or that person. You're not doing it to impress anyone. You realize the riches of God's grace that God has given to you freely in the Lord Jesus Christ. You see that other person in need, whether a believer or an unbeliever, and you say, you know, I can help that person right now. I might not be able to help them next month, but I can help them now. I might help them be able to pay for their electricity bill this month or their water bill, whatever it is. And so you go and you can do it personally, or you can do it anonymously. But look at this passage here. Look at verse 15. Philippians 4:15, and it says this. Now you Philippians know also that in the beginning of the gospel, when I departed from Macedonia, no church communicated with me as concerning giving and receiving, but ye only. Are we at the same verse?
Yeah.
So they obviously supported Paul at least twice prior to when he wrote the book of Philippians, right? So very early on in his ministry, they support him at least twice. And he says in verse 16, for even in Thessalonica you sent once and again unto my necessity, so more than twice. He says, not because I desire a gift, but I desire... What's the next statement say? Fruit that may abound to your account. You know, friends, there's an account somewhere. And it's not at Chase or Wells Fargo or B of A. There's an account somewhere. And Paul describes it here as fruit that may abound to your account. He says, but I have all and abound. I am full. And here it is. Having received of Epaphroditus the things which were sent from you. Did Paul have needs? In this case, he's talking about that war met.
Yes.
They were met by the Philippians. Did God do this?
Yes.
Say yes. How?
Through the working of God's inner man.
Everybody see that?
The
inner man. Sound doctrine working in them. And they said, you know what? We can help Paul. We can do this. And they did it because of not their love for Christ, though they did love the Lord, but because of Christ's love for them. They didn't do this to gain points. though someone's keeping record. Isn't that fascinating? He says here, but I have all in abound, I am full, and having received the Epaphroditus, the things which are sent from you. Now watch how he describes it. An odor of a sweet smell, a sacrifice acceptable, well-pleasing to God. God the Holy Spirit, through the pen of the Apostle Paul, takes and helps the Philippians, and by extension helps you and me understand, this is how God looks at that gift. Can you think of any other place in Paul's epistles where God takes and uses almost the exact same wording to describe the most significant event in human history? The cross of Christ. And let's close here. Go to Ephesians 5. It says in Ephesians 5 and verse 5. It says this. And walk in love. Ephesians 5, it's 2. It's verse 2, I'm sorry. Ephesians 5, 2. And walk in love, as Christ also has loved us, and hath given Himself for us an offering and a sacrifice to God for a sweet-smelling savor. That's the other place in Paul's epistles where Paul uses that phrase. Now that just blows my mind. That he could take and describe this gift that the Philippians gave to Paul. Philippians gave to Paul. He can describe it in the same terms as the work of Christ. Doesn't that blow your mind? How could he do that? The reason he does it. The same Christ, the Lord Jesus Christ, who of His own voluntary will went to the cross, that same Lord Jesus Christ resurrected is the one who was living in the Philippians, who was doing the good work in them. When we let God's Word be the very resource of our life in the various decisions that we make, that is Christ doing it in you. It is Christ doing it in you. It's Christ doing it in you. And when it's Him doing it in you, God says, an offering and a sacrifice to God for a sweet-smelling savor. Isn't that wonderful? Let's unite our hearts in prayer. Our gracious God and Father, we thank You for the time that we could take and look at Your Word this morning to allow Your Word to remind us the great need that we have is Christ. And You've given us Christ. And it is that need to remember every day, to find our resource in Him. And then to live out of Him as our resource. And hence, even to minister to outer man needs. We thank You for such a privilege to let Christ, who is our life, live as the treasure in these broken earthen vessels. Thank You for that in Christ's name. Amen.